it's right. The priest just kind of laughs and crashed into the Easter Mass with her head up in broken glass. She was living left on broken hills, and she said, "Father, can I tell this congregation how a resurrection really feels?"
This is the Hood Rat Recap. We're your most steady feed for the unified scene. My name is Mike. I'm going to not get involved. I'm just going to stay in St. Paul. I don't even own any Adderall. That's called foreshadowing there, Gasper. And I am talking to Gasper. He's the unified scene's very own King of Queens. Gasper, how you doing today?
Pretty good. How's it going, Mike?
It's going good. We got lots of news coming up here. I know you're going to be down. You're going to be reporting from the Nashville show, correct?
Yeah, can't wait for that show, actually. That's coming up June 3rd. And there's a couple of shows before then, too. You got four shows in Canada, which we have somebody lined up. We'll introduce him later on. And there's the Melbourne show on the 27th. And there's also right after Nashville, Atlanta on June 4th. So we're hoping anyone out there who's going to these shows, if you would like to be our guest and talk to us about the whole study and your time at the shows, hit us up on the Twitter, which is just at Hood Rat Recap, or you can check us out on the Hood Rat Recap Facebook page. Send us a message there, and we'd love to have you on.
Excellent. Yes, and I'm going to, including that, I'm going to be at Craig's St. Paul's show on June 28th. So we're also going to include Craig's solo shows if anybody's going there. I think I'm going to be bringing a microphone to that show so I can talk to people at the bar afterwards. If somebody wants to join up with me there, we can do that. Or if you
That's going to be so awesome too, man. Like you're catching all the new stuff early. I'm so jealous.
So it's going to be great. So and we have a big show planned today. We're going to finish up finally with our English shows. We're talking to Dave, part two. So it's going to be nights two and three. And before that, we got a couple of new segments to talk about. So I'm kind of excited to get into a couple hold steady segments we've come up with. So should we jump into them right now?
Yeah, man, let's do it.
Let's do it. So Gasper, you know, we kind of have this running joke on here where we're always talking about my job at the casino and what, you know, and I do the security for the concerts and it's always some oldies groups, you know. And I never told you this. You know, the night before the Hold Steady was at First Avenue, I was working a Kansas concert just 24 hours before that.
Oh, that's crazy.
And do you think anybody, I was thinking, do you think anybody in the history has ever done Kansas and the Hold Steady in 24 hours?
Probably not. That's
probably not,
unique.
Yeah. So I was thinking, but this time around, it was last Friday night I was working and it was Mr. Carlos Santana. Perhaps you've heard of him. It was
his turn.
And it was kind of funny. He came... I was working my usual stage right. I'm stage right Mike, I call myself, behind the stage back there. And he, for some reason, he wanted to walk up the right side. So he was walking up with my supervisor. And she said, "You're the only one that has sold out." You know, she's talking to him. She goes, "You sold out. You're the first one to sell out in 2 years since COVID. You know, you're the first one to sell out." And she's like, "It's all you." And he just turns and he goes, "Well," he goes, "it's all up to gravity and the vibrations in the galaxy." And I was like, "Don't you, that's how you want Santana to talk, don't you? You want your tax accountant to talk a certain way. You want your tax accountant to talk like a tax accountant. You want Santana to talk a certain way." And so,
and that's an incredible response, by the way.
Yeah. And he was dressed incredibly, all in white. He looked like a Miami Vice bad guy with his little white foot. Oh, he just looked incredible. And then he went up on stage and he played his three biggest hits, the first three songs. I'm like, "Well, how's this going to work?" And that's when, and then he just kind of went into some long guitar solos. He played like a 20-minute Purple Rain, and I was reading the set list and it didn't say Purple Rain on the set list. But this is getting to the Hold Steady, I promise. So on my drive home, I got a half-hour drive through the woods, no traffic lights, nothing. It's way out in the boonies. So I go, "I'm going to listen to this Evil Ways by Santana. I forgot what a bad little song that is. That's a good song." And I didn't. Yeah. I had forgotten it was him. So I listened. I go, "Siri, play Evil Ways."
Baby,
So Suri plays the song and then it ends abruptly, and then me and Siri are just kind of staring at each other awkwardly, and I'm kind of in my refractory period over the song, and all of a sudden Siri starts up with this totally random song, and starts up with, and I hear the opening guitar riff, and that's when I got the idea for this segment here. I'm going to call it "What's." Do you catch my rift? I don't even know the name yet. Do you catch my rift is what I think I'm going to call it. So I'm going to play this rift for you, and I want to see if you have any thoughts on it, because I kind of have some thoughts on it. And I'm just going to play it really short, like almost like can you name that tune type style, and then I'll play it a little longer later. But here we go. Now, does that remind you of anything, Jasper? Do you have any thoughts?
It does. I'm trying to place the song, and I can't. But the immediate vibe I get is that opening to How a Resurrection Really Feels.
It's funny you should say that. I have a clip of How a Resurrection. Here's how that song starts. So they sound eerily... They sound eerily similar. So.
Yeah, man, they do. there's a slight difference between the two, but you definitely get that vibe for sure.
So let's rewind the first one here. I'm rewinding the 8-track. Okay, and then here's the first one. I'm gonna play it a little longer, and now it sounds a little different when I play the longer version. Do you recognize the song yet?
I don't.
I'm going to play the chorus, and some of our listeners will know this song, some might not, but I'm going to play the chorus for it. Here we go. So that's a little artist called Eddie Money, and it's called
I definitely know Eddie Money, but I think you stumped me. I don't know the song.
It's called Give Me Some Water, though. And I always thought it was a classic rock song. I guess I didn't really think it was Eddie Money, and then I started looking through his catalog, and I was looking up Eddie Money, and I know Eddie Money's kind of the butt of a lot of jokes, but so I was kind of looking up his songs. He has Take Me Home Tonight, Two Tickets to Paradise, I love that song. He has Shaken, which was kind of his hair metal, when he kind of, that song sounds the most hair metal-ish.
Right.
And then he's got Baby Hold On and Walk on Water. Those are kind of his Peter Cetera type songs. And then he's got Think I'm in Love, I Want to Go Back, and then Give Me Some Water. It's like, they got this as his 8th best song. So, I'm just kind of recommending everybody go drive around, listen to a little Eddie Money. I know he's the butt of a joke. The funniest thing I ever heard anybody say about him when he was the butt of a joke is he was on the Howard Stern show in the late 1990s, and Howard Stern goes, you know, the problem with Eddie Money is he thinks he's still Eddie Money. So I just love that quote. So, do you think those riffs, do you think they sound the same, similar?
I think there's definitely some inspiration there. I mean, those are pretty close. They're not exactly the same, but I can definitely hear it, man. It's pretty wild. I never picked up on that before.
And I would have never picked it up except it just kicked in and I heard that opening riff. And so that's why I'm calling this segment Catch My Rift. It's going to be kind of hard to replicate this game, but if any of our listeners, if you know a guitar riff that takes place in a Hold Steady song or sounds very similar, or heck, if you know some lyrics that take place in another song that also happen in a Hold Steady song, we might have to change the name then, and we might have to call it Words Can't Save Your Life or something. We'll figure it out. But
it'll be some fun then.
Yeah, reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll either give you credit or you can come on and sell it to us. So all right, we have a new segment here. We have a lot of B's. We're calling it the best B-sides breakdown. It's best bonus tracks breakdown. So a lot of B's, a lot of B's. And I think you're going to start us out with a B song here. Me and Gasper, we were each going to surprise each other with our favorite bonus track. But then we found out we both like the same two songs. And I think that's how we arrived at this point. So
Right.
you did pick a B song, sort of. You picked this song, Gasper.
I went with For Boston. So this is one of my favorite, I guess you would call B-sides for the Hold Steady. This was originally on Boys and Girls in America, the Australian release, which was in October of 2006, and later got put on the extended version when they released the anniversary album. So one of the reasons I really like the song is there's speculation that it's related to One for the Cutters, because he references the townie who's trying to do a deal with him. He's got the diamond wrapped up in the dish towel. And part of that speculation is that that townie is Charlemagne. And that the diamond may not necessarily be a literal diamond, but he's talking about he's trying to sell some drugs, basically. And if you remember, he flushes 7 grand worth of something down the drain in a different song. So, and another interesting aside for that song is the diamond wrapped up in the dish towel, whatever that is. Holly later smiles politely and tells people that Charlemagne got lost in the restaurant raid, which like if he's like a kitchen worker, the dish towel kind of makes sense. I kind of like how that ties in, even though there's no real proof of it tying in. And the last thing I kind of wanted to mention about this is really more something I wanted to bounce off of you because I saw this as I was researching the song a little bit more. The line, they lie down on Lansdowne and lose their left shoes. That's credited as a Lifter Puller reference. Does that, because I love Lifter Puller. I'm not as like a diehard fan as I am a Hold Steady fan. So there's some stuff that does go over my head. And I know you were around for the Lifter Puller days.
Yeah, she did have he they do have a song where somebody loses her shoe, a woman loses her shoe, and I'm thinking I can't remember what song it is right now, but that does sound familiar.
All right.
And then another thing, so they said yeah, and I thought it was drugs that he was trying to sell him too. I go to the site Clicks and Hisses, a site that I just absolutely love where they explain Hold Steady lyrics. And he said it's an actual diamond, and I don't think I agree with him there because and what's funny is this is surrounded by the two songs that use Diamond in the Drain, and that's gonna be a name of one of our segments we're coming up with. But on the extended mix they have this right behind let me see, where am I? It goes Girls Like Status, where they say Diamonds in the Drain, then it's For Boston, and then they have Arms and Hearts, which again says Diamonds in the Drain. So and then another thing they say on this song, you know, we're later in this episode we asked Dave if there's any lyrics that don't translate into England, and he said not really. He just said there's references he doesn't understand. This one has a reference that's dated though. I wonder if some of the references are getting dated. He says when they're looking around for the OC, they're not talking about the TV. Do you understand that reference?
Yeah, actually, so OC, what he's referencing there is the TV show, the OC, saying it's not that. What OC actually is a slang term for Oxycontin.
Because they say they're not mentioning the OC, but the TV show meant the Orange County, right? I think it was a so they say it's a Fox modern soap opera. It was from 2003 to 2007, so it was right around the time when it would have been popular when the song was written,
Yeah,
and it
I
had.
remember it as a terrible show.
Well, okay, so do I. Guess how many episodes it had?
How many?
92. 92.
Oh, geez.
92 terrible episodes. So, yeah, even your dog doesn't like it. Yeah. Okay. And then this next song that we picked, Gasper, you say it's your favorite Hold Steady song, am I correct?
Yeah, this is definitely the song when they play this at a show, I lose my mind. This and Resurrection, but this is definitely the top one.
This is definitely one of my top three favorite songs. Some Catch Me on a Good Day, it might even be better than top three for me. So let's give it a listen and see if everybody can guess what it is already.
Yes, she happens to bring up the pinpricks and the throwing up. Tell her it's just part of growing up. Yes, she wants to get involved. Tell her to stay at St. Paul. Tell her I ain't not just taking calls. I would ask her for some lateral. Now how they won't say hi to me. Cause I'm in love with my inside. She should know exactly how that feels.
All right, give me some Adderall. That's yeah, what a great song. How, Gasper, how is this a bonus track? How is this not like a main track?
I don't know, but I mean, it's so Adderall. We didn't have Adderall as a recorded track, with the exception of the live version off the live record they put out. Oh man, it's escaping me now. What's the name of the live record again?
Positive
Rage. Yes.
Positive Rage. Yep.
So that was the only version of Adderall up until they released the bonus versions on Stay Positive.
Yeah. And it's just kind of, you know, we've done our joke on Navy Sheets that made the final cut.
Right.
And here's all the bonus. I think Stay Positive has the best lineup for bonus tracks. It has Ask Her for Adderall is the first one. And then there's Two-Handed Handshake, Cheyenne Sunrise, and then Spectres. I don't remember much about that. There's 40 Bucks. And then This Isn't Enough. I don't remember much about. Ballad of the Midnight Trawler. It's kind of a good song too.
Which, that's another song, was never recorded to my knowledge prior to that, them releasing on that. And wow, man, 40 bucks is that probably should have made the cut too. That's one of their better B-sides for sure. That's so much fun when that song comes on.
Yeah,
I've never seen them play it live though. Have you ever seen them play 40 bucks live?
No, I've never seen it listed. I'm sure they have. I've never seen it listed. I know they just did For Boston when they were in Boston, and they said that was the first time, like 11 years, they played it live or something.
Yeah.
So, and then it's talking about bonus tracks. So For Boston was off Boys and Girls in America, the third album. That had some killers too. So it was I didn't know Girls Like Status was a bonus track. I guess I should know more since we're doing a podcast on the Hold Steady, but I always thought that was a regular track.
I mean, that's one that they play all the time.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels like it wouldn't be, but yeah.
And then it has Four Bostons right after that as a bonus, and then Arms and Hearts, another bonus. That's like maybe the fifth. For some reason, that was like one of the first five songs Hold Steady I ever heard. And then something called Teenage Liberation, which I don't remember much.
That's a fun one too, man.
That's a fun one.
That a listen if you have not heard it. It's a good song.
So yeah, so it looks like albums 3 and 4 just have some killer bonus tracks. We'll have to do this again sometime because off Almost Killed Me, his Milkshake Mosh is really huge, but I like Modesto is not that sweet. That sounds like a Lifter Polar song to me. I really love that one.
Yeah, that's a cool song. And which one has 212 Margarita? That's another favorite.
Separation Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So yeah, so they have some great bonus tracks. You know, another one that'll fit with our B. Since we're talking about all the bees, there's bee on the beer stand, or beer on the bed stand.
Mexican beer on the bed stand, yeah.
Yep, and heaven is whenever. So, So we'll have to talk. We'll have to cover those sometime too. So what else about what got what else can we say about Adderall before we jump into Dave's interview here?
I mean, it's a banger. It's one that like that you hope they keep it every show, and it's been consistent in the more recent shows. I hope they keep it in the set because I love it.
It's the best. It's the best. All right. So should we join? So now we're gonna go talk to Dave. We still haven't gotten to these nights 2 and 3. We talked to him for such a long time. So we have a really good nights 2 and 3. He gives a really extensive report on the London shows here. So did you have anything to add there, Gasper?
I say let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Cool.
So this is part two of the interview where we speak to Dave, who was gracious enough to join us all the way across the pond, where we talk about the last two nights from the shows in London in great detail. And in this one, we join the night two sound check conversation already in progress.
And then the other two points I think that come out of the sound check, which you were there for this and you can talk a bit about it, he talks about having a patch of carpet there with him. I didn't realize he takes that on tour with him. That's pretty cool.
I didn't. A couple of things that I asked him the question about. See, I noticed during the first night that I think it was the most I'd seen him playing guitar live, certainly for a long time. And I clocked that he'd got a new Telecaster. So I asked him, slightly ribbing a little bit, like, did you spend your pandemic busting moves in front of the mirror, kind of thing, which he kind of admitted to. And he's been playing more guitar while he was locked in, and then a nice American Telecaster, because he's always had these kind of cheaper ones. So it's nice to see him kind of busting out a bit. He's a great. If you've seen him playing some solo stuff, he's actually a really great guitar player. Obviously, when you stand in between Pat and Steve, there's not much use for it. But I did notice he was playing it more, and I think that might have been because he got a new toy. And then he went kind of from answering that question to he was talking about the carpet of the Thunderbirds from Stevie Nicks.
Yep.
And then kind of reached under his pedals. And part of me went, oh, Craig's got pedals. Never really occurred to me. And he pulled a piece of the carpet from the Thunderbird, and that's always been one of my favorite lines of his. It's one of those things where, even though I never really knew what it was, I kind of knew what it was about. It was about the bar that I used to go to. That was the carpet downstairs where we'd play. It was always covered in cigarette burns and stuff. So for him to hold it up, so they asked during the sound check that you don't pull out your phone and take pictures, and I went, fuck it, I'm getting the pictures.
Oh, wow.
Picture him holding a carpet.
I was at the show when he got presented that carpet. That was the Summit Brewery in Minneapolis, and that was when they played outdoors and it was below freezing. And that's when
Right, okay.
Mosh Pit Josh was dressed like he was doing an going up Everest expedition. He was had a hat and jacket on. But so that was the night he got that. So I couldn't believe he still had it and he was still carrying it around with him.
Wow.
Yeah. And
so is it a club in Minneapolis that's on the
It was an
I
old
always guessed it was.
It was a hotel that kind of had a Native American theme. Like they had a big totem pole out front and it was called the Thunderbird. And it had the really, as you could see, the carpet was kind of like a 1970s Las Vegas, really ugly, just like he showed. It was the big crazy pattern on it. So yeah,
that's a very ugly.
Yeah, yep. And
Yeah.
so it was just I can't believe he still has it. That was crazy. So
Yeah. Well, it's a nice bit of like hold steady history to see.
Yep.
And then the other point they brought out during this is they announced the coffee table book that's coming out, which I don't know how many people know about. I got an email about this a while back, that next year the band turns 20. So they're going to do a few things. I'm excited to see what they are. But one of the things they're doing is they're putting out a coffee table book to commemorate the band. And they're doing that by collecting things from the fans, stories, pictures, and all kinds of stuff. I got to find out about it because they were looking for people to submit stuff early, but I think they're going to open that up to pretty much everybody.
Well, so it's a really, again, coming, you know, being a band that is particularly, you know, all about its fan base, that's a really nice thing to do.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. And then that set ended with Bloodbath again, which, again, great song on the record. But I think that's going to wrap up the sound check, and we could jump into night two, I think.
So, night two, so it looks like we start out, what, do you remember what, did they come out to Barry Manilow again? Was it the same?
No, it was the Sweet.
Little Willie.
Little Willie, yeah.
Little Willie.
I'm not sure what the relevance was.
I think it was just that it's fun.
Yeah.
A little Willie in England is probably something different. Yeah. I think the Sweet.
Maybe that's what they meant. Maybe that's what they were going for. But
Confetti. Yeah.
Now the opener for that show was His Lordship. Again, not familiar with His Lordship. Did you catch them?
I did. Yeah, saw some of them. I was. I said I was talking to the guy who was doing the live streams. A band. They were kind of playing old school rockabilly kind of style stuff, but three piece. And the guy just looked like, you know, you see somebody that looks like they belong on stage. I went, oh, yeah, he looks like a rock star. You know, it's a good voice. Cool. What I heard was pretty cool. Yeah, I might be checking those guys out, yeah. But again, I'd not heard of them before or seen them before.
Okay, so here's all the songs before the horn steady comes out. So this is pre-horn steady. So they start out with Hornets, then they go Stuck Between Stations, Hurricane J, Lanyards, Stevie Nicks, and Multitude of Casualties. That's their first six songs. What stands out? Anything stand out there, you guys?
Just an awesome run. Hornets was just an amazing way to kick it off. You know, he comes out, sings the first, you know, few lines a cappella. And then the band kicks in, and the crowd just went insane. I was holding two drinks, and you know, it went up.
I agree. That's a great way to start a set. I've seen them do it a handful of times, and it's mm-hmm.
and
it's, hurt. So these statements they either come on to that, or they play a bit later on. Certainly, in my experience seeing them live, Get that one out of the way and let's start having Hurricane J again, just, you know, from Heaven. It's a great tune from Heaven.
I like that live. I think it's way better live to Hurricane J.
Oh, yeah. That's a great song. And, you know, that's one that, again, it's not a much-loved record, but everyone was fucking loving it when they kicked into it. Lanyard's personal favourite of mine from the new one, and Stevie Nicks is just incredible. And with that... kind of weirdly discordant piano solo part initially from Frank's, which I thought was interesting.
And that brings back, that's the song with the Thunderbird carpet, so that's fitting enough.
I kind of wondered whether he'd do the thing again, but I think I guess that was just for the sound check.
That's what makes those sound checks cool, because you get those moments that are sound check.
Okay. And then for the horn steady comes out, and we get Sequestered in Memphis, which sounds good big. And then You Did Good Kid, Entitlement Crew, and Blackout Sam. So we get a couple thrashing through the passions right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Blackout Sam. I love that song. So that was that. The only other time I'd heard it, I think, was at the Bush Hall show, the last show before the lockdown. Just great to hear.
Again, I think I like that live better than I like it better live. I think that song.
I was going to say that about You Did Good Kid. I remember when that record came out, and that was probably my least favorite off of the record. I didn't dislike it, but it's just not the one you want to play on repeat. And then you see it live, and it changes everything.
Okay, so then the horn steady goes off after Blackout Sam, and then we get. Here's my personal favorite. We get Party Pit, then we go On With The Business, Don't Let Me Explode, and Constructive Summer. So, some big hits. On With the Business, that's our first Teeth Dreams, I think, of this weekend.
Played that every night. Certainly a favourite of mine. Kind of hadn't plopped up. We hadn't had it on the first night, but yeah, always good, great to hear. Yeah.
Now that's the one that you, Mike, you're always saying, like, where it lands in the set list, like, right? Is that the one?
Oh, well, I was talking about, yeah, Party Pit is, yeah, because it's almost always fifth, and it came out really late here. This is what, though?
That's about half, almost exactly half.
That's the latest I've ever heard him play Party Pit. Like I said, it's always the fifth or sixth song, yeah, every time.
So they're listening to you, Mike.
They're listening to the they're listening to the podcast. I'm glad we the Hood Rat Recap is. So then we, after Constructive, we go, and they play Constructive pretty late, this one too. And then after that, we go back to the Horn Steady Comes Back Out. We get Hot Soft Nights, T-Shirt Tucks, Heavy Covenant, Banging Camp, and Family Farm. And I don't think anybody threw any ties this time at T-Shirt Tucks. So.
No, there's a guy, just a few people from me wearing a keyboard tie.
I thought they might be too classy for that in London, is what I was thinking. But
I was wondering if that was going to be a thing, because they did it at the Minneapolis show, and they did a version of it in Brooklyn, and I was wondering if that's going to be like Craig had mentioned this in an interview, I think, where he says like this is starting to get like what's that cult movie that they throw all the stuff at the screen. It's falling out of my head.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Rocky Horror, yeah. He says, is this like becoming the Rocky Horror Picture Show where we have props and stuff? So I guess that won't continue, which that's kind of sad, actually. It was kind of fun.
And then,
a song I would have dropped from that record in favor of Esther, and would have dropped from that set list in favor of Esther as well, but that's my issue.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah, I think Esther, that sounds, to me, that really sounds like a Craig solo. I think that sounds a lot like a solo work.
I agree. That's
one of those real kind of narrative ones. The lyrics in that are absolutely beautiful, but I think that with the steady behind them, it elevates that song to, I think, a bit of a fever pitch that it wouldn't work, I think, on a Craig record.
Interesting story about that song. During one of the sound checks I've been to in the past, someone asked if Esther was Holly. Like, is this a continuation? Right. That's like, are we checking in on Holly? And what he responded was, he says, I'm not even sure that Esther is a female, which made me listen to that song in a whole different way, where it's like, wow, this person's on the lam and they're changing their clothes and everything. Like,
well, Esther's not a real name.
Right.
Yeah, something came up. So then for the, so we only got a 3-song encore here. We got the song about a boy, girl, and a horse is the first one. And then we got Confusion in the Marketplace and, of course, Killer Parties. So.
Glossed over the main set ended with Slapped Actress, which is always great to hear.
Oh, yeah, I skipped that. Yeah.
Big John Cassavetes. I really like that song.
You know what was cool about that, too, is I noticed, and I've only been in the audience when this happened once before, is Slap Actresses ends on the woes, the, you know, that chorus, and the audience just kept it going. Like, and I love more like that. Whoa, 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 whoa. That, where it's just like, no, you're not leaving. Like, we know you're coming back, but you're not leaving. We're going to sing till you come back.
Yeah. And Confusion in the Marketplace, I absolutely adore. That was one of the songs they played a lot, like sound checking and trying out at the last weekend. And that was one that really, the weekend before the last one. that song really stuck with me. And I don't hear enough love for that tune. I think it's absolutely fantastic. A lot of people said it's not kind of as good as some of their other closing songs. I think it's in and out. Fantastic lyrics, fantastic chorus.
I agree.
Yeah, that's a perfect tune. It was really nice to hear that one live again.
And then we wrap up with Killer Parties, which is the standard. That's a great second night, man. They,
I kind of came out of it. I was, I can't remember. Maybe it was during Slap Factory. So I looked over my shoulder and I saw this guy, and he was just in tears in the crowd. And I kind of, I was like, oh, I feel for it. You know, I kind of put my arm out. And I said, sorry, but. But during the end of Killer Parties, when Craig was doing all his shtick, the kind of floodgates opened for me as well, like the whole pandemic stuff and everything that we've been through. And I started like camera turning around for the live stream and buried my head into my fiance's shoulder. I was like, you're not going to get me on camera crying. But I was a blubbering mess coming out of that.
Okay.
I found that really emotional.
Yeah.
And I think objectively a better show than the first night.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's actually, I'm gonna quote yourself back at you here, Dave. I was kind of looking on your social media, and before we get into the third night, I kind of wanted to talk about your origin. You talked about it a little bit about how you got into the Hold Steady, but you wrote, I'm quoting you here. You said, "Saturday, I was a little delicate from the night before and was hit by a tidal wave of emotion at the end. The last 2 years, yeah, but for me personally, the last 5 years since I was diagnosed with a lifelong condition, which has meant performing live has been a struggle for me, regardless of the pandemic, it's all came crashing through and I was left a blubbering wreck." So what were you speaking to there? I mean, do you, unless you don't want to, I can cut that out too, but.
No, sure. To cut a long story short, in 2017, I was playing a festival here in Sheffield, and I did a show, and I felt really ill after the Saturday show, and the Sunday, I'd agreed to open early in the morning, playing a solo acoustic show, and then close the festival with a full band show. And that Saturday, I was like, usually, you know, everyone's going to come back, we'll have a big after show. I was like, big day tomorrow, I'm not feeling great. You know, I'll put my head down. And then didn't feel great after that. And I had to kind of undergo a bunch of, you know, medical procedures and shit like that. And got, well, I don't know how deep you want to go into this. Anyway, but got a diagnosis, which is basically like, you're going to be living with this now for the rest of your life. It was tough to kind of get back to feeling strong enough to start playing again. And that's been an emotion, obviously a big emotional thing. And then, you know, finally got back to the stage. And the pandemic hit. So it's, oh my God, what else is going to happen?
Oh, wow.
But we're kind of, you know, getting back on it now. But yeah, that kind of the culmination of it, I think, really just took me by surprise. And just Craig's thing of, you know, we're here, we're enjoying music again. It just struck me pretty hard.
All right.
I could totally.
Yeah. And we've all been there. When you get to the second and third night of a Hold Steady weekend, it gets emotional.
I'm sure drinking all the Hold Steady IPA, because I was pretty gone on that before they came on the first night, didn't help my emotional state.
How was that, by the way? That's the lanyard.
It was nice. I'm not an IPA fan, really, but I thought, you know, we came in and was like, oh, we'll get, you know, might as well get it, you know, show a bit of support. This is all right, actually. And then we kind of just caned that. And I said to my fiance Francesca, "It's like, if there's one thing we're not doing today on the Saturday, is touching that IPA again." And I didn't.
They are dangerous.
Had my fill.
I haven't had any of the Hold Steady IPAs or any of these drinks yet, but I do have a bag upstairs. I have a bag of coffee. Chicago seemed wired last night at one of the Chicago shows. They had coffee specially made. So.
I think I have that same bag, but I refuse to open it.
Me too. I haven't opened mine yet either. All right, gentlemen. So now, night three, we didn't have a sound check, did we? Or
no, actually, I'm excited to get into this because, like, we didn't get to see this. Like, this is probably one of the first shows we're covering where, like, Mike and I did not get to see any of it, so this is all you, man.
have you got you know what was played?
Yeah, we got the set list. All right. Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'd never been to the venue before. It's in Hackney. The first two shows were in Camden, so we were staying in Camden. Then we got a hotel in Hackney. There was a pub quiz during the day, but didn't go to that. We were laid up in the hotel room watching episodes of Columbo and eating takeout. Then I fell asleep. My arm went up, and I went, "Oh shit, we've got to get to the to the venue." So I raced down. Luckily, it was like 2 minutes away from the hotel. No idea where it was. Couldn't see any signs. And I see Tad trundling down the road in his big hat, and "Am I going in the right direction?" "It's there, right? Okay." So straight in. A couple of people standing outside. I was like, "This can't be it." You know, it's clearly been this like 5 minutes after doors open. Tiniest little place. Do you guys know what I mean by a working man's club? Do you have that?
Yeah.
So it was like a small working man's club, place where you'd see bingo and a band playing along to taped
music. How high was the stage off the ground? Is it?
It was below knee high.
Below knee high. Okay, that's what I thought from the pictures. Yeah.
I got the impression from the pictures I've seen that it reminded me of, it's probably very close to what 7th Street was like.
Right.
A small room like that.
Looked like the same size.
It looked like an amazing way to see them, man.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been, that club has so much history in terms of the music that I love. This was more like something out of, I don't know if I can pull a reference that you'd understand, but if you imagine kind of working class English, bingo hall. It was
<That's>
not
perfect.
Quite as cool as somewhere where like Who's Could Do and the Replacements would have played.
Right.
but yeah, I mean, I walked and got down to the front and went, "Geez, where's the stage?" And, "Oh, it's there." Great place to sit. Certainly the smallest venue I've seen them play. And they kicked off with, they couldn't even get, they had to go through the crowd onto the smallest bit that didn't have a foot onto it, onto the stage. So we had to kind of guide them up onto the stage. And I remember saying, "Is there a door to get into the stage?" And they were like, "No, they're going to come through." I was like, "Going to climb up that." At their age, they tried that. And they did, God bless. We were inches away from Franz, who was tucked away in the corner on his, with his equipment. It was really tight, really hot as well, really tight and hot and sweaty. And they opened with Positive Jam.
Yeah,
and one just went crazy.
Yeah, that's a great opener there too.
Got to start it off with the Positive Jam.
That venue looked tiny and it looked like a blast. The photos that I've seen from that show, like, the stage is so tight, I didn't even see where Tad was. Like, it looked like he was just jammed into a corner.
Yeah, they all were.
So then from Positive Jam, we get Barfruit Blues, which is an old school song you don't get very often.
Yeah, great, a fantastic moment of just great to see you back in a bar band, baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That venue was just, those things that just kind of catch you off guard. And I went, "Oh my God, this is fantastic."
Yeah. And then you get Adderall, which in that setting must have been incredible. That's my favorite song.
Not to harp on about it, but a song that's taken on new meaning since 2017 for me.
Yeah.
Awesome. We don't call it Adderall here, but that, yeah. Ask her for some Adderall. fantastic to hear that song. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good. Is there any titles or any lyrics that don't translate and that don't make sense in London?
That's a great question. I think like the Carpet of the Thunderbird, there's just something about Craig's lyrics that are so specific yet universal at the same time that I don't know what that club was, but I know exactly what he means by it, kind of thing. So I knew what Adderall was, but
right.
I really like Tea Dreams actually, and it was nice to hear something from it. I would have swapped it for Oaks, but to close in with it, maybe close the main set with Oaks, but it was that kind of small venue that it probably wouldn't have worked that well. But
right. And Teeth Dreams is one of those records that, like, I keep going back to. There's another podcast that I've listened to, The Whole Study for Women. They do a whole segment on it, and it really is, like, I think it's not so much an unappreciated record, because I think we all appreciate it, but it's one that if you go back to, you'll hear it differently.
It strikes me after, kind of post Franz joining again, as a kind of end of the road record of this is... You know, the way that Oates cuts out, it's like, mid solo after going on. So it's just something about it in retrospect that just feels like this is the end of.
Yes, well, that could have been the last Whole Study. Oops.
That was going to be the last Whole Study song ever.
Yeah, I say earlier about talking to Tad about the band going forward as a creative force. I think they were in danger of just going, we'll get Franz back in for that Boys and Girls reunion, and then we might go out and play every few years as a nostalgia act. And the fact that they kind of started making great new music again with this lineup is a small miracle, I think. Yeah, Teeth Dreams definitely felt like kind of as much as I liked it, I remember thinking at the time, there's not much gas left in this tank.
Right.
The creative force, even though I think that is a good record. I just don't know where they would have gone from there.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, and I remember, it was kind of a good, I like the only thing off Teeth Dreams was kind of a good anthem during the pandemic, because it's got the line, it got bad around March or April, then I thought it got better. So I always thought I would listen to that a lot during the pandemic, that song. But
oh yeah, lots of like the slight discomfort coming out as I was heading towards.
Yeah, that's another good one.
Just things to just keep getting more relevant.
So then we get into You Can Make Him Like You, Prior Procedure, Sequestered.
And that's Prior Procedure felt a little flat, I think. Not again, it was just felt like a strange choice for that venue. Just looking at the set, I remember thinking, I do like this song, but it's not, it's very, that is like a great solo song,
right?
Yeah,
it's a whole step of music.
Yep.
I do like the song, I not that they would listen to me, because they would have played Esther there if they listened to me, but I probably wouldn't have took that one.
It's odd because that one does. On the record as the odd song, and it's pretty much the title track for Choice of a Better Word, because that's where the reference comes from. But it's, I don't want to say it's my least favorite song on the record, but it's not one of the ones you go back to replay a lot.
It's one that struck my ear kind of funny the first few times. So I love every song on that record. I think it's perfect, but that is a strange one to pull out, I think. But
and then we go into Sequestered in Memphis, which, I mean, that the place must have exploded, I'm sure.
Yeah, played it every night. Another one like Stuck Between Stations, when you think, I've heard it to death. I know that song inside out. And then you see everybody just going crazy. And just going, it's a great song. It's a fantastic song.
And then Denver Haircut, which is, that's probably my favorite song off of that record.
Yeah, I really I do really like that song, but that was, I have to admit, a toilet break. I had to buy my way through the crowd and came back mid Chips Ahoy.
Yeah, I have to take them somewhere.
Well, at least you heard Chips Ahoy. They played that every night, so you heard that like three times.
Yeah, again, another one you could easily miss it. Most people go to the toilet during the new songs. So I'll tend to go, because you never know what's coming. If I've already heard it six times, that's the choice.
Ooh, but then they play a rare song right after that, one for the Cutters.
Yeah. which I'm glad I came back from, which I do really love the storytelling in that song. I think it's incredible. Just a fantastic, and a song like some people think is a bit of an oddity in the catalogue, I guess, but just remarkable songwriting.
Yeah, I was happy to see that they've been bringing that song back. They've kind of done that since the anniversary of that record, mm-hmm. and you're right. It's the storytelling of that song. It's like you get a little mini movie in your head. You know what I mean? Like it's so self-contained.
Yep. And then we got after that we got Constructive, Summer, and then We Can Get Together, Stuck Between Stations. Ooh, and then we get an Open Door Policy with Me and Megla. Now I can't say Me and Megladona.
Magdalena.
It's hard to read that word, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, We Can Get Together was another one that I think we knew was going to come and was going to be a bit of an emotional roller coaster. And it certainly was. I mean, it's just, we all know the sentiment behind that song. We could all get back together and, seeing friends I hadn't seen for 2 years and seeing, my favorite band playing live. It was, I had a lump in my throat.
Good theme song for the weekend, for sure.
And then we got, after that, we got Entitlement Crew playing that again. Spices, Massive Nights, Stay Positive. So,
they cut Spices, and they played Bloodbath instead.
Oh, that's right.
And that's when it kind of clicked for me, and I went, "Yeah, this is going to be a good one." Because that the small crowd in that venue, some of them hearing it for the first time, some who heard it maybe at night one under sound check. Kind of singing along to the chorus bit I was like, these guys are on a roll. You don't see that with stuff. Again, people go, "Oh, and you won't go on then," fold their arms and everyone was into this one. I was like, yeah, they're on it.
Okay.
Let me go to.
Go ahead.
Where did we? No, I'm just trying to.
Oh, see then. Where that... I didn't mention, so I think I stopped it. So the last three songs were Hood Rat, Crucifixion Cruise, and most people are DJs is what they ended with.
Yeah. Fantastic. Again, Josh trying to get from the merch desk through the crowd up onto that tiny little bit of stage where he could get onto the stage. For his part was amusing as well, again, just a great run of songs. It strikes me every time, but it struck me especially just like three nights we heard close to 60 different songs, some of them multiple times, and then you come away and for most bands 12 songs and you're done. And there was still stuff. I was like, they didn't play Lord, I'm Discouraged. They didn't do, And it's just all these other songs. I was like, God,
isn't that amazing?
So much, but still, it was like, we need another night so we can get all the other stuff that we want to hear.
Yeah. It's amazing how that happens, where they do, they make such an effort to craft these set lists so that you're getting as much as possible for what you really want to hear.
And they pulled out Crucifixion Cruise, but not into Resurrection.
Right.
And so then for the encore, so here we go. They start out with a slow one again, Certain Songs. And then they just have it listed. And then they just have it listed as New Song and then Killer Parties. So was New Song Llama? Is that what we're thinking?
It was. It was the same one they played at the second sound check, the first song. But I was kind of still enthralled. I love that live version of certain songs that they do now that opens with Franz on piano.
I have to say,
the meatloaf thing. I don't know if he he didn't mention Meatloaf's passing at all. But I just adore that song so much, and it was just a beautiful version. There's a great version on YouTube, if you've not seen it, from Bush Hall, the last weekend of that version. That's gorgeous as well. I love that song. So Llama kind of passed me by, and I was kind of all ready now for the next leg, and then the bass line of Killer Parties comes in. And I would say, when it gets to that end of the weekend, I hate Killer Parties. I mean, I love Killer Parties, but as soon as that song comes in, it's just like, that's it. We're done.
Very bittersweet. It's that moment that you wait for, but at the same time, it means it's over. So you don't want it to come, but you really do want it to come.
And again,
just imagine the confetti in that place. Like,
no, I was going to say, not to kind of harp on about it, but it was such a small place. I did get a bit of video footage that I have up on YouTube, because I'm not one to take video footage at gigs, you know. I might grab a few pictures or whatever. But I was like, this is going to be amazing when the confetti goes up. I need to get some footage with this. And it was. You know, they come off stage, I'm saying in quotes, and off that. It's so hard to describe, but there's a perilous small amount of space for them to put their feet as they come off the stage. So they all come down straight past me. We give them all a hug and say thank you. And it's like the end of the weekend.
What a way to end the weekender in the weekend.
Now, do they pick a spot to go hang out afterwards when it's all done, or?
Yeah, usually. Yeah. We saw them on the Friday, and the Saturday this year was the big one. Again, I'm not going to spill any beans, but my God, that's just as a greater man than me once put it, it was a big sketchy mess that almost killed me. but we didn't see. Usually, it's just to say goodbye on the Sunday. I think the band were flying out the next day. I think Craig and the manager Dave flew out a few days later. But we met some people again. We always meet people, you know,
right,
that are fans, and just like, you know, I'm sure we'll see them again next year. And we hung out for a while, and then we had an early train back to Sheffield from London. So we called it a night.
Cool. Yeah, that's one of the things you look forward to on these weekends, right? Like it's the band, but it's the community too. Like, you want to see all these people, that this is how you know them. This is your connection.
The thing that I take away most from it is, like, when they started doing like the residencies, certainly over here, it was, you know, play down in London. Yeah, we're in the north of England, so we've got to go down to London. So, but kind of we went down to the first one, and it was just that thing of you're meeting people and you're seeing them every night. You know, you get talking to them, and then you see them again the next year and the next year and the next year, and it's that thing of a community around the band. You're going to them rather than them coming to you, and I think it's fantastic. As much as I'd like to kind of roll out of my front door and, you know, hit a venue close by, it's making the effort, I think, to actually go down. And for us, it's like 2 hours on a train. You know, there's people coming from Israel, and people coming from the States and from all over the world, you know. So to say it's an inconvenience for us to take a train for 2 hours to go and see all steady seems a bit ridiculous. But, you know, in England, we tend to be, you know, it's certainly Britain, you know, it's slightly provincial. You know, the whole of England could probably fit into the smallest town of of an American state, you know. But...
Oh yeah. So, well, you say it better than I do.
All right. So we want to thank Dave for being a guest on the podcast, man. It was a lot of fun talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It was fun.
So I'm Gasper, and this is Mike. And you're Dave, and us guys, and you guys, we are all the Hood Rat Recap.
Yeah.
there is so much joy in what we do up here. And Ybor City is thrice speedy, but they throw such killer parties. killer parties almost killed me. Killer parties almost killed me.